You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Dave here with Casey, and we are the football dudes. Are you ready, brother?
I am.
Right, it is an area which we call The Trend Zone. In today's episode, we will talk about some of the crisis in the NFL with the COVID rearing its ugly head. We'll talk a little bit of Survivor, our fantasy go-backs, and, of course, some of the top games coming up in week four of the NFL. But, Casey, before that, we owe it to the people. Do you have a tasty nug for the peeps?
I always have nugs for the peeps, bro. Dave, three. Three is a magic number.
Yeah.
Three teams, the Bears, the Steelers, and the Titans all came back from deficits of at least 10 points to win their week three games.
Casey, that's just the beginning. That's a trend. Already 10 teams this season have done it. That's tied for 1987 as the second most ever.
That was a good-ass year, Dave.
Yeah, and, you know, good old 70-87, right?
We give kickers a lot of crap here about, but how about my boy Steven Gostkowski, who kicked the game-winning field goal with under 30 seconds to go in week one, a 49-yard field goal to win with under 2 minutes to go in week two, and then guess what he did in week three? He kicked that other game winner under 2 minutes. He's the first kicker to kick game-winning field goals in the final 2 minutes of regulation in each of the first three games to start a season since 1970. Congratulations, especially how nervous he looked that week one on the Monday night. He didn't look like he wanted to kick it, but he got his mojo back, baby. He's grooving.
Yeah, that's clutch, man. Damn, I didn't know that. All right, Casey, let's move it along. It's week four, and it's right about the time to start really looking at the records as they shape up and start to really mean something. Stuff's happening out there. There are, in fact, some undefeated and winless teams.
Yeah, let's start with the undefeated. We're talking the Cowboys, the Chargers. Just kidding. Hard had to come back to reality, dude.
Yeah.
We're actually talking the Bills, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Titans, the Packers, the Bears, and the Seahawks. Dave, any of those teams stick out for you?
You got me off guard with that, Casey. Yeah, I'll tell you what. The Chicago Bears are the surprise of that group to me. You know, obviously, a couple years ago, they were really strong. But 3-0 start there, and especially considering they've actually benched their quarterback Troops in favor of Foles and needed a huge comeback out of Foles to get that third win. So the Bears are the shocker in there for me.
Dave, when you got a Super Bowl MVP on the bench, you just put that guy in. Come on. It's simple.
Yeah. They should have done that from the beginning. They were winning despite Troops.
That's right. All right, Dave, the happy teams are the undefeated up there. The winless teams are the Jets, the Texans, the Broncos, the Giants, the Vikings, and the Falcons. And we have the Bengals and the Eagles. They don't have any wins, but they tied last week. But, Dave, out of those teams, who do you think is in the most trouble?
Well, Casey, it's got to be either Minnesota or Houston because they're playing each other, and they're both winless teams. So one of them's guaranteed to go to 0-4, and that is a spot that you do not want to be.
No, especially those you mentioned two playoff teams there, but Dave, they could
That's
tie.
Right. They could tie. That's right. It hasn't. It's only been achieved once, digging yourself out of that 0-4 hole. So you do not want to be there, man. All right, Casey, up next. We knew it was going to happen eventually, one way or another, and this is it. The COVID concerns have hit the NFL. Other sports have somehow managed their way to navigate through this pandemic. The NFL gets their try at it this week as a handful of players have come up positive.
Yeah, I think it was eight people total with the Titans, three players and five staffers. So they've shut down the facilities there. The Titans played the Vikings. Luckily, no positive tests for the Vikings, but these Titans are supposed to go on and play the Steelers this weekend. So there's some questions what's going to happen there.
Right.
And they're trying to isolate these guys. So they're saying we're moving forward like it's going to play, but we knew we'd see this at some point. Let's see how the NFL manages it moving forward. But the Titans had a couple names pop up. That's no bueno.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And like you said, the NFL is looking to just sort of play the game and just pretend it's not happening. But the Titans aren't really going to be able to practice the whole week. There is speculation the alternate plan would push it to Monday night. They could easily push it to Tuesday or even Wednesday without that much, you know, insanity in terms of shortening the week heading into the next week. But also another thing that has come up is the possibility that both the teams would have their buys this week. And then with just a little bit of schedule manipulation in week 7 and 8, they could make the game up during what their original bye week was. So very interesting possibilities.
Yeah, the NFL is going to have to take a good hard look at this, and it's going to be good practice just in case this scenario pops up later in the season. So I'll be interested to see how it plays out.
No doubt. A couple of injuries, nothing like week two, where the entire 49ers team seemed to be banged up, as well as some critical other players. But a couple of injuries to note, Case.
Yeah, dude, thank God half the Niners were hurt. Otherwise, they would have killed the Giants, dude. That game was so disgusting with no roster players. But looking at those Bears, Tariq Cohen, he's done. He tore an ACL, and he is going to be out for the rest of the year. Dave, a little bad news coming out of Los Angeles with your Chargers.
Yeah, Chris Harris Jr., the free agent acquisition from the Broncos, he was playing really well for the Chargers there. Obviously gives them a versatile secondary. He got rolled up on the ankle. He's on IR, but I do believe they think he's going to be back in a number of weeks.
Yeah, dude, that's brutal because him and Derwin James were really supposed to be a strength for this Chargers defense. They're still playing pretty good, but they want to get those guys back.
No doubt. All right, Case, we're moving along. The people demand this segment. It is the Survivor, or like we like to call it and play it, the Three Strikes Pool. Casey, who did you have this week?
Dave, I went with the most popular correct pick. I took those Colts going over the Jets, and so far this season I'm just picking against the Jets, although they got the Thursday night game with the Broncos coming to town. The Broncos are starting ripping, so I might take a break off the Jets for 1 week, but I'll jump back on there next week.
Yeah, I don't know what I was on there, Casey, but I picked Philadelphia over Cincinnati, so I was basically squirming for 5 quarters of football just about as they made it all the way through overtime before. I was rooting for a tie at towards the end there, you know. Pump the ball, for crying out loud. So I squeaked by, thank goodness. Casey, the most popular incorrect pick was the Cardinals over the Lions, as the Lions dealt the Cards their first loss as the Lions pick up their first win. So pretty impressive win for the Lions there.
Yeah, Dave, and moving into this week, the most popular pick heading in is our Los Angeles Rams over the New York Giants. Book it, baby. That's a lock.
Nice. All right. Talking about the fantasy go back starts of the week, Casey, where we go back in time and say, what if? Could we have made some better coaching decisions and somehow turned our weekend around fantasy-wise last week? I, Casey, was completely clean last week. I made all the right coaching decisions like usual, right? How about yourself?
Yeah. Well, I had plenty enough to beat the Snivellers getting my first win of the season. But,
nice.
Dave, had I benched Joe Mixon instead of David Johnson – I would have gotten into the scoring. I did put in Robinson instead of David Johnson, which got me a bunch of points. But also, if I would have had Manny Sanders in there instead of Deontay Johnson, I would have been top money. But who would have known that Johnson was going to leave the game with a concussion in the first quarter?
Yeah.
So I did get a win, even with 124-plus points. Woo. Out of the money, Dave. But I'll take that dub. Had to get off the schneid.
There you go. That's critical, man. All right. Enough of this fantasy nonsense, Casey. Let's move on to some of the top games this week in the NFL. We'll get it started with the game we've already mentioned briefly, but it is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Tennessee Titans. Steelers on the road in this one, favored by 2, over under at 47. Of course, this game has been, I believe, pulled in many of the casinos as a result of the current unknowns associated with it.
Well, dude, Big Ben is back, man. This guy is looking awesome again, completing 67% of his passes, has a 7 TD to 1 interception ratio, a passer rating of over 105. obviously Juju is doing work, but Chase Claypool got an extended look after Deontay Johnson went down last week. And this guy is big and he's fast. He's averaging over 25 yards a reception.
It helps when you have that 84 yarder in there, Casey. But yeah, I mean, big play guy, big, strong, fast dude, Notre Damer.
That's right. And BB loves his EE, Eric Ebron getting on the same page as well. Yep. The Steelers like to run the ball. And James Conner coming off back-to-back 100-yard games, almost 6 yards a carry. Steelers absolutely loaded on offense. But by the way, they lead the league with 15 sacks on defense. They're led by Taco Charlton. Oh, I mean, TJ Watt. I'm not bitter, Dave. Watt's got 3.5 sacks. These Steelers are not letting the other team run the ball, giving up less than 3 yards a carry. But if this game happens, they're going to get a big taste of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Casey. And speaking of if this happens, the guys that were that are out for the Titans is their long snapper as well as starting nose tackle Daquan Jones and another guy's a practice squad guy. So losing the long snapper though and your nose tackle can definitely impact what you can do. And obviously we've talked about it. They are not going to be able to practice in the facility. They're not going to be able to practice as a unit. And it's back to virtual practices and heading into a real game. That is not where you want to be. But think about these Titans thus far. They have squeaked by. They're 3-0, yes. But they've won close in every week. In fact, by a grand total of just 6 points. I did the math on this case. That's an average margin of victory of 2 points a game. But they have won. So give them credit for finding a way to win. That's the type of team they are. They're just grunge it out and fight it out and get that win. Tannehill, not quite as lightning strikes as last year when Tannehill was unbelievable, but 6 touchdowns, just 1 pick, and nearly 106 passer rating. And A.J. Brown has been out with the bad bone bruise in his knee, and they're saying basically he's not responding well to treatment, so they're not expecting to have him back around for a little while. But he's spreading the ball around real nice. Jonnu Smith, 5 catches last week. Corey Davis, 5 catches last week. Humphreys, 4 catches. Khalif Raymond, 118 yards receiving last week. So he's moving the ball around all these guys. But you mentioned it heading in. They're going to get plenty of running back Derrick Henry because that's basically the engine that drives this thing, man. Rushing for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. He leads the NFL with 319 yards rushing, man. On the defensive side, Vrabel's defense it's got a couple of named guys in it with Clowney and Jonathan Joseph and some strong linebackers with Sean Evans and Jayon Brown. But Vic Beasley hurt. But you know what? This group is sort of more than just those names. It's like it's more than the sum of the parts. You know, they just seem to know how to play together under Vrabel's sort of scheming. And so if this game goes on, at some point it will, this is going to be a good battle, man. A good battle.
Yeah,
physical battle.
Hey, man, if they push this thing to Monday or Tuesday or even Wednesday, I just got to make sure it doesn't sync up with when the Lakers are playing. And then push it back. I got plenty of action on Sunday, dude. Put it during the week.
No doubt.
All right,
I like that.
Up next, we have your Los Angeles Chargers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Tampa Bay Gronks are 7-point favorites with an over-under of 44.
Yeah, and Chargers are just 1-2, and 0-2 under Herbert. But he has played well. He's had 300-plus passing yards in each of his 2 games. He's actually hitting at a completion percentage of, I believe, 71.4%. Wow. So that's pretty dang impressive for a rookie in his first 2 starts, no doubt about that. Bad loss last week to the Panthers, really. Way too many mistakes in that game. Penalties killed them on both sides of the football. Huge penalties at the most crucial times. And the turnover differential of -3, giving the ball away 3 different times. And it wasn't just any one guy, really. You know, it was just a little of this, a little of that. You know, they need to win those type of games against the Panthers team. Not that the Panthers are god-awful or anything, but seemed like the Chargers – statistically or just on the field outplayed them, but just too many mistakes to overcome. They got to win those games because this is Tampa Bay now coming here, and then next week they're going to play the Saints, and the Saints are going to be in an ornery mood there. You know what? So they got to get the easier wins or they're going to be in big trouble. You know what? That game last week, though, Casey, all said and done, it almost came down to a spectacular play when Keenan Allen pitched it to Eckler, and it was just a couple, maybe inches off. I think Eckler actually took his eye off the ball, but the hook and lateral or hook and ladder was going to win the game if they were to execute that correctly. On the defensive side, real quick, Chargers really looking very strong defensively, despite no Derwin James. Everybody knows about him, but just 19 points per game given up. Solid against the run and pass. It's a bend but don't break defense, and they're pretty strong, dude.
Yeah, you got to get Eckler in space. You see how effective this offense is when they are able to do that, and it makes some easy throws for Herbert, get him comfortable. Chargers, man, so close.
So close.
All right, Dave, let's talk about these Buccaneers. So far, he's not been great, but pretty good. Tom Brady is still better than most. Still going through some growing pains in this Bruce Arians offense, but each week it's gotten a little bit better, including three TDs last week, no interceptions, passer rating of 115.8. And surprisingly, Scotty Miller been leading the team in receptions, partly because Chris Godwin missed week two. But Tom's favorite receiver is whoever is open. An equal opportunist there. And had a little Gronk throwback last week, too. He had his season high in receptions and targets and yards. So,
well, you know, I cut him from my fantasy squad in my other league, so that sort of liberated him. I emancipated the Gronk.
What do we talk about, Dave? You're supposed to let me know the guys that you're cutting so I can pick them up before they explode. Explode, explode. You know, the Tom pass game is a work in progress, but the run game is too with Rojo and Fournette. But that is a nice 1-2 punch, and you sprinkle a little Shady on the top over there, and I think they'll get it going. And you flip that on the other side, Todd Bowles' defense, man, there is a ton of talent at every level, and they're absolutely stacked up front with Sue, Golston, and Vita Vea. This team is improving, and it's very aggressive, dude. Last week, blitzing 60% of the dropbacks, including, dude, in the fourth quarter, over 70%. So, man, they're bringing the heat. Mm-hmm. I expect to see Herbert see a lot of blitzes in this game. JPP leading the team in sacks. They're really good against the run. They're averaging less than 3 yards a carry, just over 70 yards on the ground per game. And, you know, while the team is starting to look better on both sides of the ball, they're not looking better, Dave. That pewter on pewter is disgusting, and it's got to go. Some other amalgamation of color schemes and uniforms. I know they have them, Dave. Yeah. Pewter on pewter is out. Voting
not
it
last
off.
Week. Yeah, well, you were telling me about that front. That scares me because the Chargers offensive line has really struggled with continuity, with injury, et cetera, et cetera. So they are going to have their hands full with that front seven next week that the Buccaneers are going to field. All right, Casey, up next. This is a pretty big game here. It's going to be a good one with the New England Patriots heading to Kansas City to play the Kansas City Chiefs, dude. Chiefs at home favored by 7 in this one with an over-under of 53.5.
Yeah, these new-look Pats, dude, leading the league in rushing with the 178 yards per game. A big part of that is Cam. But it helps when you can roll out 12 different running backs and they can each do something special, you know. Fantasy speaking, you thought you were stoked if you started Sony Michel last week, who rushed for 117 versus the Raiders. But you were really stoked if you started Rex Burkhead, who had 98 total yards and 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
But Burkhead was also the leading receiver last week, too. They have to get N'Keal Harry healthy, and he's got to get elite. They spent the draft pick on him. He's got to keep progressing, but that's TBD. On defense, dude, due to all the COVID opt-outs, they're just kind of average, except when it comes to creating turnovers, which, guess what? They lead the league in that. They've already got 7 on the season, including a forced fumble for a touchdown last week. That really put that Raiders game away. These Pats are going to be in the mix on every game, but Sunday is going to be their biggest test yet. And, man, after what I saw on Monday night with what the Chiefs did to Lamar, I don't know how well Cam is going to be able to get off, but good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck indeed. This Chiefs team has been very impressive, and you mentioned it, the way they looked really shutting down that Ravens squad on Monday night. That was it wasn't very close, really. It did not feel like a very close game at all. So they really handled the Ravens' dynamic offense, and they were so dynamic offensively. Speaking of their offense, they're at over 30 points a game. Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill, Hardman, and Moore, the receiving group, just so dynamic and so deep. And you know, they got a steal in the draft, dude. I mean, when you pick last, you're supposed to get scraps. But Edwards-Helaire, dude, that guy looks like an absolute beast at running back. The rookie, 134 yards last week. And it's a rushing and receiving. He's really, really gifted out of the backfield. One of his catches on Monday was just absolutely beautiful, guiding it in over the shoulder there. He's a dynamic player, man. He just adds a whole new dimension to that ground game. Not that it wasn't there last year, but I look at this right here as an upgrade from last year's guy. So it is pretty dang impressive, man. I'll tell you what. And on the defensive side, you know what? I mean, these guys, like I said, they really handled the Ravens. They just took the Ravens out of their game plan. Yeah. After the first drive, really, it was just they just shut them down, man. They really know how to play when you have Mahomes and an offense as powerful and potent as they do. They just kind of let it rip. No worries. Get after it. And Chris Jones is an absolute beast, dude. And add Matthew to that on the backside. So instinctive. Such a great playmaker. They can really do a lot of different things defensively. Like I said, no worries, because if you give up a big play, who cares, really? Ultimately, you just need to make a couple of big plays along the way. And with Jones and Matthew, they do. So that defense does just what it needs to do to get the ball back to Mahomes. And once, you know, obviously you don't need – Mahomes doesn't need much time to get it done. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. All right, Dave, let's keep in the AFC. We have the Buffalo Bills going out to play the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Bills are three-point favorites on the road over under 52, dude. And this Bills team is fun to watch.
Yeah. Obviously, unless you're a Rams fan, what you saw last week was freaking awesome, right? As they got out in front of the Rams, it was 28-3. They dominated them early. Then they let the Rams back in. The Rams know how to play offense, let's be honest, you know. And they got it going against that Bills defense, though. It took the lead. They unscored 29 unanswered. But, man, then the answer came, and it was Josh Allen. He is so poised this year. He's so improved. Yeah. I've been a fan of his the whole time. But we knew he could run. We knew he had a cannon as an arm. But the knock was, of course, he's a low percentage passer, and those are the type of things you just don't develop in the league and everything. But you know what? They're fourth in offensive in total yards. They're second in passing. So something's going pretty well there in that passing department. They're averaging at 330 yards a game passing the football, scoring 31 points a game. So
I'll tell you what happened to that offense. Stephon Diggs, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I was ready to – you queued me up right before that one, Casey, because Diggs made every other receiver on that group better, because he immediately – his professionalism, his route running, his deep threat ability, every single other guy became more dangerous because the defense has to deal with Stephon Diggs, and it just – it suddenly is that much more dynamic. Defenses are in trouble. They don't know. You want to try and double-team Diggs? Fine. They're going to burn you somewhere else. And you know what? When you look at the running game with Singletary, he's been breaking off big plays too. He's a hard runner, man. So very impressive, well-rounded, physical offense. And then speaking of physical, that Buffalo defense, legit, man, on the other side of the ball, they are just a tough, tough group. So, I mean, this is going to be certainly the Raiders are going to have their hands full with this Buffalo's squad, dude.
Yeah, you know, and the Raiders went out to play the Patriots last week, and they kept it close for a while, but then the Patriots pulled away late. Raiders feeling pretty good about their team. Carr had a couple fumbles last week, but he still hasn't thrown an interception, so I think that's progress there. Hunter Renfrow finally got it going last week, too. 6 for 84 yards and a touchdown, almost a second TD, but pulled down just a little bit short. But they're going to need help from Aguilar and Zay Jones if Edwards and Ruggs can't go on Sunday, and it looks like they probably won't. And they've got to get Waller going again, dude. On the Monday night against the Saints, 12 receptions, 105 yards and a TD.
Dominant.
Against the Patriots, 2 receptions for 9 yards. Part of that had to do with the hoodie because he is a diabolical defensive mastermind. But also,
right.
Josh Jacobs, man, this guy's got – he's the spark plug off the offense. Mm-hmm. They've got to get him going. Even if they're not doing a lot per carry, they just have to get a bunch of carries.
Yeah.
You know? And he's got that hip that's bothering him a little bit, but he still rushed 16 times for 70 yards last week, caught 3 or 4 targets for another 12. He had that huge fumble inside the Patriots 20, but they need him to be the factor back. Remember when Merrill Hodges said factor back about 20 times an episode?
Yeah.
Factor back. But it's absolutely true. He had 3 TDs week one, but he hasn't had that big game, no big runs yet. Dude, no runs over 20 yards this season.
Mm.
And the Bills did give up some big runs last week and over 100 yards to Henderson of the Rams. So maybe JJ can find his mojo a little bit. But the defense, they really struggled last week. They gave up over 250 on the ground to the Patriots. They got to tighten that up. And they can't let Josh Allen break containment and run. That's easier said than done. But last week, they did a nice job for his Cam. They held him to 27 yards on the ground. And they're going to have to apply that strategy this week. We'll see if it works. And Max Crosby, he had 2 sacks last week. So they got a big, strong guy on defense. Josh Allen is a big, strong guy. You got to bring him down when you get the chance. And more good news, they only allowed the Patriots to convert 3 third downs out of 11, 3 of 11. That's pretty good. If they can clean up the turnovers and the penalties, they'll be in this game. But, Dave, if my if was a fifth, we'd both be drunk, brother. The Raiders got to step it up, man. This is a big game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the Raiders were smelling themselves, Casey, when they were undefeated. And then they stubbed their toes last week. Car. We're wondering.
Or was it Chaps?
Yeah.
Or Polo. It was something.
It's going to be a good one, though. I'll tell you what. In Vegas at the Death Roomba. All right, man. That is going to do it. So many ways, Casey, that the people can check out the Football Dudes. We're available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Blueberry Podcasting, wherever you get your podcasts, or subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA. Or what,
Casey? Just go to footballdudes.com. Boom, you're right there.
It's all there for you, people. That's going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. For Casey, I'm Dave. We are out of here.